the Thursday, September 7, 2023 Public Safety Committee meeting with Chief Jensen, Alderman Terulis, and Marlis, our notes taker. I guess since we're not voting on anything, we don't need to establish a quorum, but there's no citizens here. There's no one online, Chief?
Nope, just me.
Okay, so the minutes for correction or approval, they look fine to me. So.
I wasn't here, so
okay. Yeah, that's true.
It looked fine to me.
So we'll accept those as presented, and we'll move on to new business. PS 2023-14 monthly report review for June and July 2023.
Awesome. All right. So I'll cover July fairly quickly. There's some really good info in here. Jumping into the overtime hours worked, if I look at the total hours of overtime, 471 for the year, 200 and roughly 50 of it is the reimbursable overtime. So we get reimbursed for that through HIDA, and then our water park details and different things like that.
Yeah,
so that always helps when it comes to overtime reimbursement. A couple of our community policing initiatives, obviously the girls going to state and leading that. We've been doing some neighborhood roll calls. We've been in the subdivisions. We post on Facebook that we're going to be in, you know, this subdivision doing a neighborhood roll call at this time. So in the month of June, we did Bristol Bay. And we also did one other subdivision, and it's escaping me. I want to say your subdivision, Sieber. I'm not 100%, but I'll find that as we get back to it. We also posted for a the police officer accepting or police department accepting applications. So a quick update on that. We have two people on our secondary list, which is the list of people that have police experience. And then we had 46 people actually test with us. We've interviewed the first 18, and of the first 18, four are certified, including one of our own CSOs, Alex Robo, who comes from Chicago PD. So we have to make the determination once all the points are put in for the one opening that we currently have. Are we going to take someone from our secondary list or our primary list? Figure that out. And so we've got some really good candidates on the secondary list, which are on the primary list, which is good. We also did our YMCA Summer Lead Youth Summer Program. It's a new program this year. We partnered with all the police agencies in Kendall County and the YMCA for a summer camp, and each police department throughout the course of a week's period of time took a full day. We had 30 kids here for the first camp, and then the second camp was another 30 kids. We taught them a lot of evidence stuff and then went bowling with them with the police department, the officers from the department. Crossing guard, we have hired one. We are fully staffed with our crossing guards. As you can imagine, well, we've been open. We've had an opening in that position for over a year.
I don't know.
It's just crazy trying to get somebody to fill it. We actually have a lady who is just amazing. She's doing it, and you know, during the heat, we actually went out there, got her water, and sat her in a squad car. She shouldn't be outside doing it in the heat. So I'm slowly working my way through potentially us getting rid of the crossing guard program and putting it back in the school district where it should be. Why the city took that over, I don't know, but I know it's been years. I'm kind of working through that process right now and what we need to do. And I've committed to the school district for this year. It's budgeted for this year. So, but then in my view, you know, we can't pull officers from the street to handle crossing guard duties for stuff. So, let's see, 4th of July. We'll talk more about that on, in the July review. We also did a, retiree. We brought in old retired YPD officers for a tour of the new building and lunch. We had 9 retirees show up, which I thought was pretty good. So, jumping ahead to training hours and career development, we had 644.5 hours in June of training. Traffic crash summary, again, 47 of 126 was 6. I was hoping that intersection, it would change some of it because of the berm that was there and the landscaping. Now that the coffee shop has gone in, the bank has been torn down. I can't tell you because they're not operational yet whether we're going to see any difference, but it is easier as you pull up there to see around. All the crashes are minor. If there's injuries, they're very minor injuries. And it's somebody pulling forward, stopping, looking south on 47 to pull out, and somebody who's behind them wasn't paying attention. Our traffic details, traffic enforcement, 34, 47, and 71 still take the brunt of everything we have, and I think you're going to see that for the rest of the time. You know, every single month, those just seem to be the hot area. That's the most traffic. Those are the highest speeds that we run into. It's interesting, if you jump over to the monitor patrol areas and the directed patrol, we did 93 details for 156.6 hours in the month of June in 6 different locations. So we are hitting the areas that we know we have an issue with. One of the areas that somebody actually came and spoke to a city council meeting on Baseline Road, we've been very concerned about Baseline now that the construction's done. Are we getting speeders there? We ran 8 details from Baseline between 47 and Miguel Road for just under 6 hours total. And in the month of June, we've had 0 violations. So, and we're trying to hit those when we've done the speed studies through there. We know the time frame that people are the worst violators, and we're sitting out there during those times. Let's see, jumping ahead to traffic enforcement. You know, we were up in June this year compared to June of last year. Investigations, we were up in total crimes. In July, I'm going to talk about a case we had at the water park that is absolutely an amazing case. And when I get into it, I think you guys, you'll definitely agree. I know you will because you understand the criminal prosecution side of stuff. And the investigation that Nelson did on this case was...
So the guy with the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an Italian last name.
Yeah. You're not representing him, so
I am not. No. So, I am not. He's like John Paul Levick. I saw him in court the other day.
Yeah. So, as far as criminal reports and the NIBRS reporting, for the first month, this is the first month this year, we were actually down as compared to the previous month. We were minus 11. If you average it out to so far with what they had last year as compared to this year, we're still up. With cases, and probably will be. Things are just getting busier. And then our squad car totals, we had a pretty good month. We were, overall mileage, we were down a little bit. Gasoline expense, we were down just under $2,600, which is very good. And our total gallons of gas, we were down 52. So that is the month of June.
Any questions? No, I'm pleased to see all the squad's going down Kennedy since you guys have moved your headquarters.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Game farm people are not happy because they don't see squads on game farm as much.
I just get a kick out of it. All of a sudden, lately, you know, I'm noticing more and more.
Yeah, people slow down, right?
Going by the house.
Jumping into July, jumping right to the community policing initiatives. The 4th of July, we had, I think, an outstanding 4th. We are we're the only city in Kendall County that really does 4th of July a full day. Nobody else does a parade. We're the only ones that do. Everybody does fireworks, but, you know, we're no different than everybody in that respect. If you were at the 4th of July parade, you saw a lot more security than you've probably ever seen before. You probably didn't see snipers. We did have 2 teams of snipers that were up Overwatch. It was the 1-year anniversary of Highland Park, but this is something we're going to continue to do. SRT was walking in the parade, so we had 3 groups of SRT, 2 in the front, 2 in the middle, 2 in the back. They all had squad cars, and we had the armored vehicle that was there. They had immediate access to rifles if they needed it. I'm still not on board with guys wearing rifles as they're walking. I'm just not on board with that yet. But they were right there if we needed to, and so we had strike teams along the entire thing that if something were to kick off, they were there. I had 0 negative comments from the public. I had several. And at the festival this past weekend, again, we had SWAT there. I had 0, and I had well over a dozen comments, people saying that they liked it. So if you guys have heard something different, let me know, and you know, we can kind of work through that. But, yeah, so... So that's 4th of July. We had zero incidents or concerns that day. A couple other things. We had car burglaries in the month of July. We had a bunch of car burglars. We have caught the three kids who were involved. They have been charged. One of the kids, and part of the reason how we caught them was a officer was 34 and 47 at like 2 in the morning, happened to see three kids at the intersection, high school age kids. They had another officer there with them. They started talking to the kids. One kid took off on foot. We gave chase to him. He outran us. But in the process, he's also had a gun on him.
Oh.
At the time, a gun that was stolen from one of the cars. Now, we were not able to recover the gun, but we were able to make an arrest, and, or three arrests, and charge three kids in it. So,
what do you do with the gun?
We weren't able to find it.
Really?
So, yeah, we tried. We actually went to the parent and, you know, listen, our goal is, I get it. Got to find that gun. I understand you don't want your kid charged. I can't make a deal. We're not going to charge him. But understand if something happens with that gun, and we knew he had it, and we know he had it, you're up. I mean, that's just not good.
Parents, I'm still looking for my $1,200 from my garage door.
Yeah. Well, that was actually part of it. It was a TikTok challenge, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's destroy things and record it.
Yeah.
They the problem jump in is the doors. It didn't cost me $1,200. It cost me $2,500 because the wife said, "Why don't we get new doors with glass in them?" And you know, and so I said, "Well, now I might as well get double insulation." And you know, pretty soon, $1,250 is $2,400.
Yep.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. Kyle Davis drove in the 5-0 racing at Grundy County Speedway. He has a squad car, his own car that he made look like a squad car, and he actually raced it. It's a thing for Special Olympics that we do, so he did a nice job there. Jumping ahead to the traffic-related issues, again, the same roadways are the predominant ones. We did baseline during the month of July. We did 10 details for just under 12 hours. Two warnings were issued. So I'm not sure baseline is the issue or the problem or concern that you know everybody thought it was going to be. Again, we're trying to hit it in those areas. For the month of July, we did 97 details on 6 different roadways for a total of 182 hours on 6 different roadways. So. Our portable speed signs we have up at 5 different locations. You know, we bought new ones. So we have the trailer, the 2 trailers. We use those for special events, but because Wanko bought the all traffic solutions, we're trying to work with them to have the software that is supposed to work in those to do things. It's just not working. So we're going to get credit on the back end for the warranty. But we bought those portable speed signs last year out of our capital budget that we can put up and then run our traffic studies, and that's what we're using. Eric's crew, you know, just takes too long for them to get out and put them up. We're still using those, but now we have ability to hit 5 different areas instead of, you know, 3 or 2. So they've been pretty good. So McHugh and Jackson, Spring Liberty, Tuscany, Bristol Ridge Road, and Prestwick are the locations in July. And I don't have results back as of, actually, not at those locations. Previous locations, it looks like Van Emmon, east of Mill, westbound traffic, the 85th percentile is 39, and it's supposed to be 30 through there. So that's part of the reason you're going to see in the study, or in the monthly report, we're hitting Van Emmon a little bit more. Traffic enforcement, we're up in citations, down in written warnings as far as criminal cases go and cases assigned. So the July case with the water park, we had a report that an individual was exposing himself. One of the guards saw him. They alerted their security up there. The guy started taking off from their security, which are retired cops, saw him ditch a GoPro camera that you can fit in the palm of your hand. So they retrieved that, grabbed the guy, called us. We ended up charging the guy with what that person saw at that time. The guy said, that's not my camera. We ended up downloading the camera. Matt Nelson spent hundreds of hours going through the camera. And he ended up identifying something where the individual took his private part and touched a kid with it. We didn't know who the kid was. He went back through hundreds of hours of video, saw the kid coming in with her parents. We were able to identify the kid through the parent. The parent was uncooperative and didn't want to talk to us. He says, I hate the police, don't like you guys. We told him exactly what had happened. The guy said, I don't care, I don't trust you. State's attorney charged anyway. And then we were able to tie another case where the guy did the same thing. And he was able to identify another kid. And that day, there was probably 6,000-7,000 people at the water park. So it was, he did a really, really nice job, all on video. We pulled another couple GoPros and pulled that video, and there's stuff from it's off at 355, almost to the end of 355. Elk Grove Village. There's a water park up there, and he did the same thing up there. So we got four charges of predatory criminal sexual assault on the guy. So fantastic case. So
6 to 30 and 85% consecutive.
Yep. Guy's going to prison for a long time. So, and it's on video.
That's the best.
I mean, you just can't. So as far as reporting go, July was definitely up. We were down 11 in June. We were up 35 in July. You know, our average last year for criminal reports was 255 a month. We're averaging now 275 a month. So our biggest increase in the NIBRS reporting this year or this month was the crimes against person under the assault category, which covers assault, battery, domestic battery, animal cruelty. They kind of lump it all together under assault offenses. And we also had an increase, actually no, we had a decrease in that. So crisis intervention calls, we were up for the month of July. We were up 5 voluntary committals that same as compared to the same month the previous year. And that is about it for monthly report.
Questions?
No, but your reports are the most fun of all the reports. I've got to say.
There's a lot of stuff there.
Well, it's just more interesting to me.
You're not interested in commercial sign construction and larger square footage if they use higher quality materials?
You know, all that construction maintenance and whatever stuff. Too many years in there. I just not interested anymore.
It's hard to be interested in it.
I get it.
All right. I guess we'll move on when we get back up to the agenda. Item number 2. Yep. PS 2023-15 adjudication reports for July and August.
All right. A lot of normal stuff. I'm going to highlight a few different ones. In the July 17th report, you're going to see a ticket for parked on the roadway, expired registration. We only write those when we get complaints. Somebody will call and say, hey, this car's on the side of the road. It hasn't moved in a long time.
Okay.
So we go up to the house, ask the people to move it. If they don't move it, then we go there and basically say, it can't be here. It's not registered. We don't want to have to tow it. And people end up moving it. So at 507 Fairhaven, that happens to be my subdivision. And that car was out there for a long time, and she didn't move, so we finally ticketed it. Jumping to 724, there's a fireworks one. You don't normally see fireworks tickets, but that was the fireworks stand out there by the old Hardee's.
Oh.
So that was that ticket. Jumping ahead to August 21st, there was a solicitor ticket. The person was found liable on it. It didn't look like it had any, well, there was nothing written on it, whether it was liable or not liable, what the fine was. It was a solicitor. We've been getting constant calls about different solicitors out, and every time we get there, the solicitor's gone. So we ended up getting this guy and wrote him an ordinance ticket. He was fined $100 for it. And that's really it. Everything else is impounded vehicles. There's a couple weed tickets, cannabis tickets, and then there's, I think, high weeds for one of the businesses that Christie's group issued. So, and that is that.
Okay. Move on to the last item. 2023-16, the law enforcement accreditation program update.
Yes, so DC Mikulasic Ray is he's in charge of our accreditation process. So I know we talked last year and then the beginning of this year about, you know, doing the accreditation, the state of accreditation, or the state of the Illinois accreditation, ILEAP they call it. So we are 42% completed going through the process so far. The largest portion, which is the administration side, was the first part that we completed. So we're working on the operational components now, which cover your squad patrols, your vehicles, your equipment, your evidence, that sort of thing. And then we're looking to have a mock assessment by early to mid-2024 with a final completion and accreditation by the end of 2024. We're thinking we may be able to do it earlier. However, we want to give ourselves a little bit of time. As big things pop up, like our budget, Ray's got to pull himself away from accreditation to make sure our budget gets done. So there's still a lot to do, but he's making good headway. We, in this building, allows us to do accreditation. We can actually do national accreditation in this building, but I don't want to spend the money on the national accreditation. Plus, I need a staff member to do it. ILEAP, I don't have to spend it. I spend, I think, $1,500 a year. But it provides us with all the new law changes, all the new updates, all the best procedures, and, you know, what's, you know, best in law enforcement to today. With all the Safety Act changes and things like that, all the standards have to be updated to meet Safety Act standards. So, you know, while we think we have everything, and while I sat through a meeting today with all the judges and the state's attorney, I don't think they have a clue yet either. I mean, it is, so this helps us with that as well. So yeah, questions on ILEAP?
Very good.
Hey, that's great.
And then the last thing I have is an update on Yorkville Christian.
Yes.
So, I'm not sure if you've seen a lot of the complaints, Seaver, on, I know it's in your ward, so.
Can I get them?
Yeah, so we've gotten a lot of phone calls from people in the subdivision, and I've just blanked on the subdivision.
Prestwick?
Yes.
And Ashley Point?
Yes.
They're both right there.
So, about the kids, the Yorkville Christian kids driving. So there's two entrances, one in the back of the school and one in the front off of Ashley Road.
Okay.
The Ashley Road entrance is not completed. It's gravel. It looks horrible, but you can get into the school from there if you need to. Bart has spoken to John Stewart over there. We can't force John to complete that. The estimate that we've provided him through EEI is several $100,000 to do, plus some additional work on his end for, you know, the dirt work that would need to be done. So you're probably talking several $100,000 to get that interchange done if we were going to, you know, do it. And it would cost the city some money. So until they're willing to pony up and do it, you know, it's up to you guys whether you want to spend the money to have it done. The main problem is not there, though. The main problem is in the back. So there is a four-way stop intersection right there, Prestwick, that brings it back into the back side of the school. Once you pass the stop sign, you literally are on to private property, which is the private road. And so the residents there that back up to that road are complaining about the way kids are driving and, frankly, the way parents are driving during events. So I met with the school myself this summertime, the principal and the AD over there. Talked about different ways that they can educate their kids and families. I provided them multiple traffic calming options that they could put in, including speed platforms, that like a speed bump, but it's more of a platform, so you're not, sure, once you hit it, I mean, you're not going to bottom out in the car, but it's definitely something you don't want to go fast over. And that we're running details out there as well after school, before school, and, you know, when we can get there during the course of the day, you know, for events. We have yet. Now, we're at marked squad cars. and people can see us coming. So we're actually going to be starting to like take my squad, which is an unmarked squad, and kind of park down the street to see if we can, you know, catch some people. But when you're a marked squad car, you're not catching anybody. The guy is very, he wants what he wants.
President of the Homeowners Association?
Yes, nice guy. He and I have gotten along very, very well. I understand what he wants. I understand his concern. I'm not sure it's as bad as what he's saying it is, just because we haven't caught anything. But to his, but you know, we're a marked squad car too. And as you guys know, when you see a marked squad, you slow down. So that is the update on that.
Well, he's probably satisfied with that, because for the squad car, they're not driving like fools.
So. Yeah. So, and you know, we'll try to get out there, but we've got probably a dozen spots throughout town that they want us there 24 hours a day if they could get us there. So,
can't happen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Anything additional?
Nope, I already asked my one question before we started.
That's good.
Well, are electric-powered bicycles motorized vehicles or not?
They are motorized vehicles.
That was what I thought, but I just wanted to be clear.
You can get a DUI on an electric motorized bicycle, because they are...
They fit the don't worry about it.
I heard the county did.
I
heard the sheriff's office has had one.
A DUI?
Yeah.
You can get them on a snowmobile, you can get them on a moped, an electric bike, because it has a motor.
Problem is, the people also, you can pedal it, right? And so, people on the bike paths, because it says no motorized pedicycles, right? Technically, yeah, you could get an ordinance ticket for doing that. You could. Not sure I want to take the stance on that yet, unless we're getting a lot of complaints, only because everybody has those stinking bikes. And they're on the roadway as well. So, that's the hard part.
Yep.
So
I stay on my side of the berm, so I
don't. It's a smart play. All right, we will adjourn at 9:29.